Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Well, hello, hello. It's Donna here from Blind. No, not Blind. I'm Fuffle from Motuaru Development Services. I've got a podcast as well, and I nearly said that. I'm just pulling up on my phone the subject to today, and I hope you are all well and starting to enjoy lighter days, longer days. It's a little bit lighter at night time and it's a little bit chillier, but it's a little bit brighter in the morning as well. So our days are starting to extend a wee bit, which is lovely. And I hope that you have a cup of tea and you're ready to listen. So today's subject, I thought I would talk about loss of identity. And there's lots of times in our world when we have a loss of identity, whether it be after you've had a baby, which is one that I hear a lot, whether it's after a marriage separation, whether it's after loss of a job, particularly if the job was sort of part of your identity, which often happens. Retirement is another one. Menopause for women is another identity change. So it's really when you were someone or something, you had some identity that you sort of aligned with, and then there's been an event, depending on whether the event is positive or negative. It could be a positive, like having a baby. It could be a negative, like leaving an abusive relationship. So so there's your identity, then there's an event, and then it's who are you afterwards? You know, it's sometimes, and most of the time in those situations, it's very hard to go back to the identity you were. So that's what we're going to talk about today on Arrow FM here for Motuaru Development. So grab a cup of tea, grab a pen and paper if you want to write some notes, or you can always listen to this again on Arrow FM's website and lots of other medium that... on Facebook, all sorts of places you can listen to this again. Loss of identity. So the one that I hear a lot with my job, being a social worker of young families, is after you've had a baby. But just think of your situation, and, you know, there's times when there's positives and negatives, as I've thought about, and consider that. So the first thing I think it's really important to be able to do is allow yourself to go through the grieving process of the loss of the identity you had. It's a very real loss, and you will go through a grief process with it. So accepting that that's going to be the case and allowing that process to happen is going to make it a little bit more easier to get through this. Now, grief is a process. You can't skip it. You can't jump over it. You can't step around it. It is a process that you have to get through. And the amount of grief equals the amount of loss. So if it's been a major loss, then there's a major grief. If there's a smaller loss, there's a smaller grief. So it does match the amount of loss generally. If it doesn't, then, you know, there may be some other underlying challenges, like, say, for example, it's a small loss, but you have a major grief, then maybe talking to a professional, your doctor or a counsellor, because there may be some triggers there for past, etc. So, I mean, that's another subject that we could talk about as well, but for today we're just going to purely concentrate on the loss of identity. So allowing yourself to grieve. So the five stages of grief are shock. And that's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening. So that's the first stage. The second stage is denial. It's like, no, it's not going to happen to me. No, that doesn't happen. The next stage is deep sadness. And then the next stage is anger. And then the next stage is acceptance. And I think I've talked about grief on my show before around what is these five processes. And of course they don't come in a nice tidy continuum. If they did, then we would sort of know that there's a start and a finish, but they come in all mixed up in all different sizes. So one day you might have a huge wave or tsunami of deep sadness, and then the next day you might have a wave of anger, and then the next day there might be acceptance, and so it goes around and around and around. But eventually the acceptance becomes stronger and stronger and the waves get smaller and smaller, and you learn to manage those, the grief that's in your life. Grief doesn't go away. It's always there, but you learn to accommodate it within your world. And so allowing yourself firstly to be able to grieve and accept and acknowledge that this is a loss of a past who you were. So the next one after that is, I'm going to check my notes because I don't want to get it wrong. What was the things that you'd like to keep? So it's to consider the things that you want, that you really liked about yourself before, that you really want to try and maintain or keep. You know, if there's a part of your, say, for example, sense of humour, or benevolence, you know, you're a very giving person. Or so if there's parts of your identity that you think, yeah, I really don't want to lose that. I can feel it slipping away, but I really don't want to lose that. So then it's concentrating on how do I manage to keep those things in my world, and how do I maintain those as part of my identity. The first part is acknowledging that they are part of your identity and you don't want to lose them. So it's recognizing those things. Then, of course, the other side of the coin for that is, what are the things that you weren't so keen on in your identity that, you know, can go? You say bye-bye to you. You know, the change of identity is an opportunity to have a fresh page and to, you know, move forward. So I always remember somebody saying to me a long, long time ago that life was a whole lot of chapters, and each chapter ended with grief, and then you had the next chapter which started with a blank page. And yes, I tend to agree with that in lots of ways. Grief, you know, there's always a loss of what was a chapter and then has changed to a new chapter. So there's definitely some truth to that. So, but we are a human that has the ability to know what they want to keep and have the ability to be able to maintain that. So, and also the things that we want to not keep. So that's the next one on my list. The next one is, think of this as an opportunity for a fresh start. So it's exactly what I'm saying. If you have just had a baby and you start thinking, oh my gosh, I'm never going to be that out there, active person, free and independent and with a slenderer body and without, you know, these scars and bumps and lumps that my beautiful, beautiful baby has left me. And so it's thinking, okay, well, accept that let's now look forward and think, you know, what can I do with this? What can I do with this fresh start? So that's kind of the start of it. So I'll give you some thoughts. I've given you something to start thinking about and start imagining in your own mind about a time in your world when you've had an identity loss. Or if you're sitting at home now and feeling like you just don't know who you are, or you just don't know what to do to move forward, then that's kind of the start. So we're going to have a song and give you time to really sort of think about that. And then we will come back to the next tips and ideas and suggestions that we will get to. So we'll see what we're going to play. Let's see. This is, I don't know if any of you know who's listening. I am blind, legally blind. And so for me, I do fumble around with things a bit. So you're just going to have to forgive me. And that's certainly been a change of identity for me as well. And so I'm not sure why that's not working. it's working now. So yeah, and Legally Blind, and do fumble around, so forgive me for that. Can't be helped, it's who I am, that's my identity now, something that I have to grapple with. Anyway, here we go with Lord, and it's a great song, so thoroughly enjoy it.
For us, we crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler. You can call me Queen Bee, and baby, I'll rule. Let me live that fantasy. We're better than we ever dreamed, and I'm in love with being queen. And we'll never be royals. It's a run in our blood. That kind of love's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your ruler. You can call me Queen Bee, and baby, I'll rule. Let me live that fantasy.
There we go. Lovely, lovely song that finished very abruptly, did it not? And so, this is my next song that I'm going to play, and can't turn it off. There we go. So, again, Legally Blind, I'm going to fumble. That's the way I am. So, Donna here from Motuoru Development, and we're talking today on Arrow FM about a loss of identity. If you are sitting at home and feeling that you have lost your identity, you're not the person you used to be, you don't really understand what's happened to you, there's been changes, and you aren't being able to move forward and kind of stuck, this is the show for you. So we've talked about accepting it, allowing the grief process. We've talked about now you've got a fresh start. One of the things to then consider is your mental well-being. So sometimes change of identity can actually be quite mentally unstabling. So if you are feeling as though you may have depression or major anxieties, you go to a professional. So because you're in that limbo stage, or if you're in that limbo stage where you haven't quite found the new you and you're flummoxed and floundering, there is a risk there that you could go into the deep dark well, as I often express it, of depression and anxiety. So monitoring that is really important. If you are having trouble sleeping, if you are either sleeping too much or not sleeping enough, or if you are not having an appetite and not eating, or you're overeating and emotional eating, if you are feeling that there's a sense of worthlessness or of non-value, or a deep sadness, or always feeling your emotions are raw and out there, or that they're blocked away and just won't come out. It does impact everybody really differently, but if you will know if you are not feeling okay. And if you have people, another clue to this is if you have friends and family that are kind of saying things like, you're not yourself, or, you know, what, why are you doing blah-de-da-de-da? You're just not yourself. And so listen to other people and take cues from that as well. So that's the next thing to really consider when you are in this middle stage of aftershock and before the new stage comes. So, or are being okay with accepting help and accepting people's comments, being okay with listening to what people have to say. Be brave. If you are feeling you want to make a change and you think, yes, I still really love the fact that I used to wear lots of bright colours, and now I'm sitting here in my, you know, grey tracksuit and my grey sweatshirt, why, where's all my colour gone? And then asking, you know, saying to a family or a friend, I'm really missing that I don't wear colour. You know, what, have you got any ideas? Have you got any ways, things that you think that would be good for me? You know, what should I steer away from? And be prepared, you know, be prepared for their comment. It may not be what you expect, but it may come out to be the best thing that you've ever heard. So being okay with accepting help and being okay with accepting some knowledge and how people see you. So that can be quite challenging. It can also be very confronting, but it can also be a great way to really work forward. If somebody says, well, you always did bother me with such and such you did, and now you're thinking, oh, actually, that's something that I really didn't like in myself, then, okay, you've that's something to work on. You've got something to actually hang on to. It may not be a positive thing, but you can make it a positive thing. So, you know, somebody has said that you're not great at doing something in a particular way or manner, and you knew that it was something that you didn't really like about yourself. Okay, we can work with that. That's an anchor to work with. You know, it may be the start of a whole new, fresh chapter for you. So that's the next one. The next one is, and this is something that we do a lot as humans, and particularly I have heard it a lot within the world of parenting, but there are other places, and we often say things like, I'm just a mum, or I'm just a cleaner, or I'm just a receptionist, or I just work somewhere, or I just do this. You know, we tend to minimise the importance of what we're doing. And I think that is something that is a trait of human, it's not a great thing to do, because our body, our brain listens to what we're saying, and it's going, well, okay, so I'm not that important, you know, and it listens to that. And outside people listen to that and say, well, they think they're not that important, so I won't take much notice of them. So to take the word just out of your conversation, so I'm a cleaner, I'm a mum, I'm a nurse, I'm a doctor, I'm a secretary. So to take the word just out of it, it can really change and empower you and start thinking, actually, I am a mum, you know, and what a wonderful thing that is. And I am a nurse, and I have, you know, the ability to really move forward with this. So look at your language, look at how you speak to yourself and how you offer yourself out to people, how you present yourself to people, and think about, am I being a positive, you know, person around this? And I know we all have ups and downs, and we can really, I often hear people say imposter syndrome. So they don't feel that what they're doing is, you know, that they're not really that good at it, and they're just fluffing their way through, and they feel like an imposter doing the job. So how are you talking to yourself? Yeah. So that's the next one. Then it's, here's the fumble with the blindness again. This is more around how we feel. So it's more around how we present ourselves, so what we wear, our clothing, our presentation, our body language, our body stance. And I use the term quite a bit in my world of fake it till you make it. So if you walk down the street, all the way down Queen Street and Main Street of Masterton, without a smile, you'll get to the other end of Queen Street without a smile. And you won't have acknowledged, and no one will acknowledge you, they'll just carry on walking. If you force your body, face into a smile and walk down the street, people will smile back. The closest thing between two humans is a smile. And when you are naturally smiled at, you will naturally smile back. It's a sign of safety. It's I'm not a threat. So they feel comfortable. Even if you're not feeling like you want to smile, it will change the way you feel at the end of the street, end of the road, because you will have had all of those positive smiles back and positive thoughts and positive thinking to yourself. By the time you get to the end, your smile will be much more natural. And so that is really important. And it is a fake it till you make it thing. The next thing is, you know, get yourself together in the morning. So brush your hair, clean your teeth, have a wash, have a shower, make yourself feel fresh. And then instead of wearing your, there's nothing wrong with trackies and a sweatshirt, you know, at home, there is nothing wrong with that at all. But try when you go out to put yourself together a bit. And it does, I'm not suggesting that you put a suit jacket on or, you know, get all flashed up. I'm suggesting things like, you know, wear tidy shoes, have a bit of colour on your sweatshirt, put some earrings on, put a butterfly clip in your hair, or, you know, make sure your glasses are clean. Just present yourself with a little bit of care and you will feel so, so much better. That also goes with our body language. So if you, the simple fact of the matter is that we are animals. We behave in a pack the same as animals do. So if we look threatening or unwell or have our head down and we're stooped, then that we become a threat in some way in the pack. So we could be unwell, or we could be being aggressive, or we could be feeling really low. And the rest of the pack look at that and go, oh gosh, that person is not okay. We don't want that within the pack. So there's a change in everybody else's behaviour because of that. So if you need to go into a place where there is public, try and have some body language that says, I'm actually okay. I'm standing up straight. I am looking you in the eye, but not too much because that can be a threat as well. I've got a smile on so that I'm trying to tell you that I'm friendly. That will help with how you are treated by other people greatly. If you suffer with social anxieties and social phobias, that is another level of challenge, and I accept that is a real challenge. So, again, that's where the professional help comes in. But if you have the ability to be able to stand up and look, if you can't look them in the eye, look them in the forehead so that you're not looking directly in the eyes, but you are looking at them. And that will make a huge difference to how they will come back to you and treat you. So, and that has a knock-on effect of, you know, eventually that you will start feeling better because people are treating you better, and it's a roll-on effect from there. So they sound so simple. You know, it sounds simple, brush your hair. It sounds simple, but it can make a huge, huge difference to how you feel at the end of the day. So what you did at the beginning of the day helps incredibly to how you feel at the end. And if there's only one thing that you succeed in during the day is brushing your hair and brushing your teeth, well, at least you've succeeded in something. So being organised and routined, so that is a really good way of trying to not get buffeted around. So being in control of what you can be in control of, and being as routined and possible as possible in the things that you enjoy or the things that are necessary. Like exactly what I'm saying about your morning routine with showers and brushing your teeth and brushing your hair and those things. Be as routined as possible, and that will help you do it. As often you'll end up, if you're not in a routine, you might end up somewhere in the supermarket and go, oh, I haven't even brushed my hair, and what am I doing at the supermarket? And then that becomes a self perpetuating role of unhealthy thoughts in your mind. If you have a routine in the morning that you stick to every morning and really structured to it, then there's going to be less chance of at the other end of the day standing in front of someone saying, oh my gosh, they're talking to me and I haven't brushed my teeth. And then, you know, it's really a good idea to try and get some things routined as possible. And I do appreciate that that's a challenge. It's a challenge for people that have got new babies or families, kids. It's a challenge with social anxieties. And, you know, sometimes you have to sort of brush your hair with the baby on your hip and another toddler, you know, playing with the hairbrush. Give them their hairbrush and sit them in front of the mirror as well and say, brush your hair and let's, you know, we can try and brush our hair. And how many times? 1, 2. So, you know, so bring the kids into it as well. And it's creating good routines and habits for them as well. So, yeah, routines and habits. And that routines and habits and structure will really help your brain stay calm, because what happens is your brain says, oh, she's got a handle on this, I can relax. So if you've got as much routine and structure, especially in your morning routines, as possible, your brain will say, I can relax. I can settle down because there isn't that need for panic and worry. And it's like the lizard sitting on the rock just waiting for the next, you know, thing that's going to happen. And they're just sort of waiting with that, you know, that movement that lizards have where they sort of jiggle back and forward, sort of just hanging there. It's going to happen. Where if you can have that routine in the morning, then you can actually sit on that rock and relax and say, well, it might happen, but I'll be okay. I'll manage it. So that's routine and structure. What's the next one? Spend time with adults without your babies or without, whatever's happening. So have some adult time, even if it's a very short. Somebody suggested to me yesterday, because they had a wee baby and time just, you know, as a challenge, especially without having time with your baby, or was to do voice messages, so that you're actually hearing people's voices. You can listen to it when you've got time to do it, but there's a much more human connection there. You've got the tone and the nuance of a human voice coming back at you. And so if you can get people to do that rather than text, which is such a you can read so much into a text. It's a whole program on its own, really. But, you know, there's such a lot of risks with sending texts when you want to really connect with that person. So if you can't spend time face-to-face because of the challenges that's going on in your world, at least try and do voice note so that you've got some human voice on the other end that's going to be able to connect with you, and you can understand. 70% of our communication is visual, but the rest of it you can do by listening. That's 30% that of communication is listening, and you can pick up a lot by listening to the human voice that you can't pick up within a text. So I thought that was a really good tip. But making sure that you can do things like a simple coffee with a mate. I think there's a sort of a thing to be aware of with that. So, for example, if you are if you're creating a new slate, if you've got a blank page and you're trying to change and make things, you know, change your identity into something more healthy, be careful who you have that coffee with. Because if, as I said before, if you consider the things that were past challenges that you really didn't like about yourself or you want to change, you should not be having a coffee with the person that's going to encourage that behaviour. Like can attract like. So, for example, if you are trying to give up smoking, you know, something in your past that you didn't like within yourself and you really want to give up smoking, well, the best thing to do is not have a coffee with your mate who's a smoker for this time. That doesn't mean never, just means at the moment you need to really consider who are the people that you want to spend time with that are going to be able to support you with those changes that you make. If you're really working on your social anxieties, then having a coffee with someone else that has a social anxiety will mean you've got two people having a coffee, probably looking at their phone and feeling very awkward together, and both their body languages are just going to follow each other. So, it is a matter at this stage of finding your new identity, where you try and spend time with people that have the skills and have the identities that you want to work with. A saying that is sometimes said out in society is, lie with dogs and you'll catch fleas. So, it's just make sure that you spend time with the people that you want to be the people of. I remember many years ago, about 20-odd years ago, I really wanted to expand my being a manager and my business knowledge, and that I wanted to sort of start spending time and energy and my new slate in sort of a higher level of my next level of work. So that was more in being a manager and a director of my own business and being able to speak at functions and that, because that does involve things like being confident when it comes to speaking in public, etc. So I had to sit and think, okay, who do I need to spend time around to be able to, you know, learn skills from them, learn their body language, learn how they think and function, and so that I can emulate them and really start learning from them. And so I chose to join a Rotary Club. I remember the first few meetings that I went to, I was so nervous that my hands wouldn't stop sweating, and I had to hold napkins off the table in my hands just because I was that nervous. It was really, really frightening and really intimidating. But I was determined to do it because I knew it was my new growth and something that I wanted within my learning. But a very, very challenging thing to do. Excuse me. So sometimes doing the things you want to make change means having to do the tough stuff. Again, I'm not talking about people that have some mental health challenges that would really, really struggle with that and put them in a risky place. This is a different conversation. So, yeah, think about who you want to be, who you want to spend time with, and try and spend time with those adults. So let's have another song, and then we can get on to the next part of how we find our new identities, if we've had an identity crisis or a change in our identity. And so we'll have another song, and then we'll go on to the next stage. So here we go.
That you're settled down, that you found a girl, and you're married now. Your dreams came true. Guess she gave you things I didn't give to you. Old friend, why are you so shy? Ain't like you to hold back or hide from the light. I hate to turn up out of the blue uninvited, but I couldn't stay away, I couldn't fight it. I had hoped you'd see my face and that you'd be reminded that for me it isn't over. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best of you too. Don't forget me, I'll beg. I'll remember you say. Sometimes it lasts and loves, but sometimes it hurts instead. Sometimes sometimes it hurts instead. You know how the time flies, only yesterday was the time of our lives. We were born and raised in a summer haze, bound by the surprise of our glory days. I hate to turn up out of the blue uninvited, but I couldn't stay away, I couldn't fight it. I had hoped you'd see my face and that you'd be reminded that for me it isn't over. Nothing compares, no worries or cares, regrets and mistakes, their memories made. Who would have known how bittersweet this would taste? Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the
instead. Oh, that's a beautiful song. I just love her voice. There's something about music that just gets deep, deep into your soul, doesn't it? And I probably repeat a lot of songs for two reasons. Firstly, I just cannot find other songs on this machine, so it's what's in front of me. But also, I play the songs that I just love, and they just, you know, I can feel my body melting and just sort of getting lost in the music. And yeah, so we're today on Motuwarau Development. We're talking about finding your identity after a loss of your identity, whether it be through having a baby or relationship breakup or menopause or retirement, loss of a job. There's so many reasons why we lose a sense of identity. And so we've been talking about how we manage that and how we can grow and create new identities by finding out what we really liked about ourselves that we want to keep and maintain, and find out the things that we didn't like that weren't so well. And this is an opportunity to, you know, be able to really try and work forward around those. But it is a grieving process, and it is a challenge. I know there's a saying called forming, storming and norming. So you are forming something, so you are storming, which is, you know, you're in the storm, and then you're norming, so it becomes normal. So you want to form something. There is a storm time where it's up and down, and then there's a time when it becomes normal. So forming, storming and norming. So that's what we've been talking about today. So the next part of our forming, storming and norming is keeping up habits and keeping up hobbies that you enjoy. So this is part of this trying to keep up the serotonin and dopamine levels in your brain so that you are really taking care of your mental health. Having hobbies seems like a trite thing to do, but in the mental health world, it's really, really important. And I have in the past talked about the 8 areas of human existence, which are the 8 areas that kind of make up the human pie, the whole of us. And so when we are making, when we are thinking about ourselves and trying to either make change or wonder why we need balance or is there an area that I need to spend more time in, it's really important to look at the whole of you, which is 8 areas. And they are, the first area is intimacy. So that is your immediate personal relationship, whether you have one or not. So it's, you know, investigating that area. The next one is family. So what are your connections around your family? How do you manage your family? That's another area. The next area is social connections. So that's friends and you're out there, connections, community. Then there is work, home and paid and unpaid voluntary work. So that's the fourth area. The fifth one is physical. So how do you take care of yourself, your body, your self-care, you know, exercise, eating, sleeping, those sorts of things. And then the next one is knowledge. How do you stimulate your brain? You know, are you constantly learning? Are you being active within your brain? I often talk about things like the drone zone, the flow zone, and the panic zone. And we really want to be in the flow zone so things are nice and flowy. But if we're not activating our brain, we can often be either in the drone zone or the panic zone. And that's not a great place to be long term. So that's number 6. Number 7 is, your spiritual, so how we take care of our wairua, our being, our who we are internally. And that doesn't mean religion, that means our us, who we are as a being. How do we take care of that? And then the last one is hobbies. What blows your hair back? What do you enjoy? So they're an important part. They're actually one part of our human existence pie. So, yeah, thinking about what hobbies you have. And this is a great way when you've got a new page and a new chapter that you're moving into, is what looking at your hobbies. And again, exactly like I said when I joined Rotary, so I did that to be with around like people that I wanted to learn from. But it's become such a wonderful hobby and a service that I can give out in the community. And so I really enjoyed that, but I have lots of other hobbies. I mean, I've lots and lots of hobbies. Probably too many, and my partner would say so, with the bags of hobbies that creep out of my craft room, etc. So, but I do recognise the importance of it. So when we do something that we enjoy that is repetitive, so it may be something like cutting firewood or going for a bike ride or reading, or for me it's knitting. So when we do something we enjoy that is repetitive, we increase our natural happy drug, which is serotonin. It's a natural, it's a neurotransmitter that increases our mood, so serotonin. So when we do something we enjoy that is repetitive, we are naturally increasing our serotonin level. The other happy drug that we have is called dopamine, and this is a reward neurotransmitter. So if you have something that has a reward at the end, then you get a natural hit of dopamine. So for example, if you finish chopping all the firewood and you look at this pile of wood for winter, there's the dopamine hit. That's a reward. Or if you finish the chapter of a good book, there's a dopamine hit. There's a reward. I finish a row or a piece of my knitting, there's a reward. So what you want to try and do is get a double whammy. So you want to get a hit of serotonin and a hit of dopamine in your hobbies, so that you are giving your brain a natural bubble bath of serotonin and dopamine. So, for example, I'll use knitting because that's what I do. So knitting, it's repetitive, knit, 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 and I enjoy that. So I get a serotonin hit. And then at the end of the row, I look back and I go, gosh, that was good. You know, I've done well on that. And then I get a dopamine hit, so it's a double whammy. So that's the biological reason why hobbies can be really valuable to our mental well-being. Also, hobbies can get us out and socially connected with people, like-minded people. So they are also valuable in that way. I think there's probably groups for most things that are for like-minded people. There's Dungeons and Dragons groups, and there's Mahjong groups, and there's knitting groups, and there's physical education, you know, any sports sort of groups, and book clubs. And yeah, if there isn't one, create one. You know, that's invite a few people that have the same interests as you together and say, let's sit together and do this together. So that is a really important thing, is to make sure that you continue your hobbies and or find new hobbies that you can do. Now, there are fantastic places in our community that can help with that. For example, King Street Artworks, which is a wonderful place in Queen Street in Masterton that works on a koha system, and it is there to support people to through art and creativity. So that's and they have tutors, etc. So that's a fantastic place to get that. There's the Fab Lab next to the library, which is again similar sort of thing. It's a craft. I think they've got those printers, those 3D printers, etc. sort of thing in there. I haven't actually been in myself because those things are a challenge for me. The men's shed for older men that are finding they need a sense of identity and a sense of purpose and a hobby, or to maintain a hobby. There are so many things out there for people. So have a look, but if you can't find it, create it. So that is really important. So exercise is also really important. Now, for our physical health, yes, but also for our mental well-being. We know that things like walking and swimming, John Kerwin's a perfect example of explaining that. So, you know, being active, and it doesn't have to be, you know, often we set ourselves up for failure. So we pay $500 and we join a gym or $20 a week or whatever it costs. We know we can't afford it, so that's already put us under pressure and stress to join a gym. Then you start worrying about what you're going to have to wear. I've been a gym bunny for years, so I do love going to the gym, so I'm not putting them down. They do a fantastic job, but I don't want you to set yourself up for failure. Start small. It's a 10-minute walk once a day. Start with that. Just find if you've got a little block around your home that is just a nice little walk, just do that, you know, and then do it twice a day. 20 minutes of walking is just 2 10-minute walks is just as important, is just as valuable as a 20-minute walk. You know, the last thing we need is someone saying, right, I'm going to go 5 times a week and I'm going to do an hour and a half, and then you don't do anything. You get complacent and all sorts of things, overloaded and overwhelmed. Start small. So looking after your body, even 10 minutes dancing, put your favourite music on at home and put it on loud and just dance. Dance like nobody's looking. Well, hopefully nobody is at home. But, you know, just boogie and do your favourite dance, hip-hop to whatever, you know, any dance, just move. And that can be so, so beneficial. So don't set yourself up for failure. Start small and then build yourself up. If you then have the habit of getting out and doing a 10-minute walk every day, then you can start considering things like the gym, because then you know that you're going to carry it through and you're not going to set yourself up for failure. So think about all of the positive things that has changed with this change. So a great example for me, I suppose, is losing my sight. As I said, I am legally blind, and I mean, that's a huge identity change, a huge mental health change, a huge physical change. It's a big pill to swallow, losing your sight. And when somebody says, well, what are the good things that's happened since you lose your sight? You think, hey, I've lost my sight. But actually, there's been some wonderful things that has happened. Well, firstly is getting my guide dog, Kenzie, who I simply adore. So I've got a best friend with me everywhere I go with my guide dog, as well as she works for me. So that's been a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. I have met some wonderful people who are also blind and low visioned. I created a group, so because I couldn't find one for people who are blind and have low vision that want to get together and connect. So I've made some really lovely friends, and we've done some amazing stuff. And we've been in vintage cars out to Brantsbith, and we've been on sensory tours to Pukaha, Mount Bruce, and sensory tours to Papa. And we've just done some lovely, lovely stuff. So those have been some really positive things that have happened because I have lost my sight. So try and find some of the positives that have happened when, and sometimes those are hard. So again, start small. You know, is it, you know, when you've had a baby, is it just that moment where you sneak in at night time to check if they're okay and they're asleep, and you get that "this is why I love them" feeling, you know, that just that moment of, oh yeah, or the smell of a baby. You know, they're such small things, but they can make huge difference in how we're feeling. So really try and find some positives out there. All right, make time for self-care. You know, that's something that I am hot on in any part of your world. You know, self-care is critical. You are the rock at the top of a mountain, and the self-care that you put in place is the stick holding you up. Now, you have got to keep that stick strong and strengthened. Otherwise, the rock's going to tumble down, and we don't want that. So self-care is critical, and that, again, needs to start very small, little bit by little bit. Just start small. You know, instead of putting two sugars in your coffee, just put one, you know, and do that for a while. And so that, just keep it really small and achievable, and then you'll find that it'll get better and better. Don't compare yourself to others. You know, that is a really risky thing to do. I remember I was doing Toastmasters, and I was learning to how to speak and present in public, which was something that it was a challenge that I wanted to give myself. I give myself challenges regularly to push me out of my boundaries, and we'll talk about that another day. But speaking in public was a challenge that I wanted to do. And I kept saying, and I still do it. If you listen back on my program now, you will probably find me saying quite a few times. And they have what's called a grammarian who pulls you up, and they often sit there and count your ums and ahs. And I was getting better and better, and I know I still do it to a degree, but I was so worried. And I was sitting next to the mayor, and I was thinking, oh my gosh, you know, I'm going to have, how can I, you know, sit next to this person who is so used to public speaking, and that's their job, and blah, blah, blah. And they got up, and I'm not going to say which mayor, it was a long, long time ago, and they said that many ums. It was every second word was and I thought, oh my gosh. And then another mayor, a long time ago, I asked advice on, and his advice was to write breathe. He writes breathe on his speeches. And I thought, you know, if I shouldn't be comparing myself to them, because if I am, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, they're a mayor, and I'm so, you know, new at this. How can I? I was comparing myself. But what I wanted to do and learnt to do was actually start gaining information from them, watching them, how they did it, what they did that I really liked, you know, getting tips from them. So no comparisons, because we are such different people. We do things so differently. We're just about at the end, folks. Goals. So this is going to be my last tip, because my phone's died and I have no idea what the time is. But I'm pretty sure it's near the end of the show. So yeah, set yourself some goals. Goals is really important. Start with small ones. Again, all of this whole show has been around start small and achieve things. So start with some small ones, whether it be a simple goal like, I'm going to fold that washing on the couch today, or I'm going to brush my hair, you know, when I get up, instead of worrying about it at 3 in the afternoon, panicking, trying to do it because somebody's knocking on the door. Anyway, I hope this has been helpful. If you do have a real sense of loss of identity, you know, try these tips. If you're still struggling, look for a life coach, look for a counsellor, look for a social worker, or find a group where there's a group people that you admire, that you want to learn from just by being around them. So that's Donna from Motuaru Development. You can find us at the Wairarapa Community Centre at 41 Perry Street. You are welcome to pop in at any time and see if we're, sometimes we're not there, but pop in and see if we're there, because we love visitors. And my phone number, I cannot remember, but we have a website, Motuaru Development Services, and a Facebook page, Motuaru Development Services, so you will find us there. And so take care, look after yourselves, and I'll be back with another show soon. Bye for now.